Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Walking on Sunshine, of course, Katrina and the Waves, One Hit Wonder, although they had some other good records in the 80s. Katrina Laskonich, I think I said that right. Born on this day in 1960. I'm also hoping that will lure the sun back out. I mean, the eclipse was cool, but we can come back out. We can hang out a little bit.
Reemerge, you know? A little bit. Well, they did it. 50 starting lineups. 50 starting lineups for the Memphis Grizzlies as they go down to defeat. Which is more remarkable? Well, so you have them. They lost an NBA record last night. They were tied. They were tied for fewest free throws in a game. That was a 2014 Memphis Grizzlies shot one free throw in a game.
Okay, I saw that Boston had zero, realize.
So they lost that record, but they set a new record with 50 starting lineups. Which is more unlikely? 50 starting lineups or one free throw?
I think the one free throw is more unlikely because, and I've made this case before and I'll make it again, we've passed the zone. In the past, I've counted down, like when they set the record for 28, I counted them all down. I memorialized them. You can still find that on the internet. We're in the steroid era of rosters.
Why is this explained to people? Why is it different than the last one?
Because the first time they did it, there were no two-way contracts.
Right.
Now there are three two-way contracts. And so the roster size has gone from 15 to 18 anyway.
Right.
And then you have all the other stuff that's happened. And so I sort of, Drew and I did on the podcast, Grizzlies Pod, which went up yesterday, we in real time tried to name all 33. We went back and forth, and he tapped out. He won. I tapped out later, but he tapped out first, so I won that game.
You didn't get to the 30?
We got to 28 of them, and then we sort of lost steam, and we on the fly couldn't. Apologies to Luke Kennard. It took us way too long to come up with Luke Kennard. He was like the 28th person we named or whatever.
Right.
Out of sight, out of mind, Luke.
If the Grizzlies were starting a playoff series tomorrow,
yep.
Which players do you think would be out? Are so hurt that
that's
they could
a good
not
question.
Play?
I can really give you a good answer to that because I haven't been poking around because I just don't care. Yeah. When people say, is this for injury? I'm like, they're not playing again until October. I don't care.
Right.
And so I suspect, I don't know, so don't take this as gospel. I may be completely wrong.
That's fine.
But I suspect, the Marcus Smart thing, at some point they were just like, okay, whatever, we'll just, fold up the tent. I doubt.
But Jaren could clearly play. Marcus Smart, probably likely play.
I would think Desmond, but they changed that injury designation to something hyper-specific, and so I don't know about that. Obviously, Ja could not, because he's got the torn labrum. That's, real, head surgery. That's a real injury. But a lot of this, Vince Williams, this ongoing tendonitis thing, could he play in the playoffs? I don't know. Maybe.
Did you know that Gigi Jackson played the drums?
I did not until Drew showed me the photo last night.
Yeah.
Although I say I had a Gigi moment last night.
Wait, were you there? You were there last night.
Briefly. We left at halftime. I took my son. It was the last game I was going to be able to take my son to because I'm doing the game stories, both games this weekend. And he wanted to see Wemby. So we went and we used the media passes to sit down courtside for Wemby's pregame shoot around. So literally we sat he was shooting threes like 2 feet in front of us, and we had to sit there and watch.
Tall?
It's unbelievable. I mean, no, it really, to me, when you talk about just the raw talent level, it can't be overstated. You can say whatever you want, and it's not hyperbole. there's a difference between being a great talent and being a great player, and that's something you do, you accomplish right. over time. His combination of handle and touch at that size is unprecedented in humanity. I mean, right. if you look at the players in the NBA today, all the players in the NBA, the only one who, in terms of a pure talent, is on the level with him is LeBron James. That's it. Not Kevin Durant, not right. Steph Curry, not Nikola Jokic. These are all-time players, not Giannis Antetokounmpo. They're all-time players. And he's not an all-time player yet. But in terms of raw talent, he's a level above those dudes. Like, it's otherworldly, you know? So we watched that, and then I left at halftime. But I had my, because I said, we can leave whenever you want to. I was sitting up there working on my moments of the year list. I wasn't even watching the game. We had a G.G. Jackson moment, though, earlier in the night when we came in, we took the elevator down to event level. G.G. Jackson rode on the elevator with us because he was coming off the practice court, and there were a bunch of fans in there.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, you know, whatever, the small talk. We love the way you play. You guys are still going hard, blah, blah, blah. And I don't mind saying this on the radio. G.G. turned and looked at all the fans, and he said, "We're going to kick so much bleep next season." So there's a promise.
It'll be really interesting to see how much bleep he himself will be kicking next season.
Yeah.
In other words, what will his role be?
Yeah.
It's one of the great mysteries.
We'll see how the roster shakes out.
We'll see. I mean, and it's not empty. It is. It's kind of empty calories now, right? Like, what is it in meaningful games? What will it look like?
I agree. He's had good games in games. You know, you could say they're not meaningful ultimately because of the standings, but like in the moment on MLK Day when he had 27 off the bench against Golden State, like that was not nothing, you know. And the other TNT, the second TNT GG game, you know, against, I guess it was the second one against Milwaukee, he had 27 off the bench, but he had like, I think, 23 off the bench against Golden State in that MLK. So he's had big games and games that in the moment mattered. But this down the stretch stuff is just not, they're just playing out.
What do you make of the. His numbers on corner threes, terrific, right?
They were last time I wrote about it. I don't know what that's changed in the last three or four games. Potentially it has. I have no idea. It's promising. I mean, it's a three-point shooting fluctuates, and it's small samples, and we'll see. And so, but, yeah, it's promising.
Anything else strike you from last night's?
No. Again, I was it was in the arena. I was in the arena not watching the game.
Did you know that Jack White has a championship ring? On his Wikipedia page?
I did not, but I love his White Blood Cells album. That's the third record.
White is Australian.
Okay.
Played for Duke.
Right.
And has a Nuggets championship ring.
All right. Not the guitarist from Detroit.
Make sure
that.
You're clear on that. Not the guitarist from Detroit. There were a couple of things in Hollinger's piece yesterday. He stopped by Memphis, obviously, for the Mark thing.
Yes, I have not read his.
So he did nothing much. He said there wasn't much to see there except for Brandon Clark, right? So he has the pop that we've talked about, right? Et cetera. But then he said this. Otherwise, the Grizzlies are in a holding pattern, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Around the core of Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson. It still seems from all indications like Marcus Smart is part of the equation.
Yep.
And he says this. Zaire Williams, Jake LaRavia, and Luke Kennard, maybe not so much. And
I don't think there's any intel on that. I think John from the jump, I think a lot of people outside of Memphis, because John and Nate Duncan have talked about this on their podcast early in the season. I think people from the jump look at the numbers. I'm talking about the salary numbers.
Right.
And conclude that they're already into the tax even without it, and they're not going to bring Luke Kennard back on $14, $15 million. I am less certain of that than I think John suggests. But I've raised that issue more locally than I think anyone else has.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't think that's John. I don't think that's any intel. I think that's John looking at a spreadsheet.
The president's saying.
And I've looked at the same spreadsheet, and I also wonder about it. You know?
There are options there. There's all kinds of options. You could ask him to come back around for less money.
Yeah, but the thing about that is it's only going to be so much less money, and it's going to be like 3 or 4 years,
so that's unlikely.
I think they'd like to have Kennard back. My sense is they'd like to have Kennard back. But I think as you get into the offseason, you look at the matrix of different paths and different moves, and as you put stuff together, it's not going to shock me if things come together in a way that squeezes him out of the mix.
And then he didn't write about this. He wrote about how woeful Detroit was in their loss to to Memphis when Jalen Duren played, by the way, and Jaden Ivey played,
right.
and James Wiseman was just god awful.
Yeah.
He linked to another piece where they were where the beat writer for Detroit was going through the roster of who's keepable, who's not. Like, who do you want to build around here? And what was interesting was is they didn't put Jalen Duren in the got to keep him. They're like, you know, maybe, maybe not. Fact is, he's not actually the best center on the roster right now. Isaiah Stewart is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Isaiah Stewart is actually better right now, and he's not good at protecting the rim. And they could
Isaiah
imagine
Stewart,
him being moved in the.
Both of those players were mentioned when I did the great center right. search column I did a few weeks ago. Both of them I put on the list because I do think there's a chance that a big gets squeezed out in Denver. And I'm Detroit. I'm not talking about James Wiseman because that doesn't right. matter
no,
for the Grizzlies.
James Wiseman's going to be in.
But I think I think Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart, if either of them were available, should both be players of interest to the Grizzlies. And I think for Detroit, A, you got two of those guys, and you probably don't want to play them together. And then we'll see what happens in the draft.
Well, I was going to say Alex Saar may
if they
well
jump
be
up
the...
and like it's or Klingon, you know,
or Klingon.
If they look up and wherever their pick lands, they think the best player on the board is a center. Suddenly, like that could even help move one of these guys out. And the thing about Duren, I'm very high on Duren, and I like Duren as a fit for the Grizzlies. But Jalen Duren is like the fourth best guy on your team if your team's really good. As good right. as he is, he's that, you right. know? And that's fine for the Grizzlies because they right. got their top three. But if you're Detroit, like right. you can't say, well, we can't move this guy if he's right. like, you know, not going to be a top three guy on a good team.
Right. Their number one guy, Cade Cunningham, he's had a good year. He still should be the second or third best.
Probably so, but if you're looking at who is the true inner core of a good team, you can still say, okay, Cade Cunningham is one.
Thompson second, right?
Maybe he's not that either. It's the difference between being a top three guy on that team and being a top three guy on a real team.
Right.
And they may only have one guy who's a top three guy on a real team. So you can't, like, you know, take any of these other guys off the board.
I think
I would love Duren for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, and not because he was a Tiger, just because he's a good rebounder.
No.
he does the job that it appears.
Yeah, no, I think
like
he'd be a good fit. And Isaiah Stewart's a different kind of player, but I think he I wouldn't mind having him either. His contract is a little bit more than sort of like the Luke Kennard thing. His contract is a little bit more than what he's really worth, and so I don't know about that.
We have around the league. It's really kind of a fun sprint to the finish here. Like,
there's a lot of unsettled
stuff.
There's
a lot. There's not going to be a lot of players sitting out, you know, mailing it in here, except for and even at the bottom, it's pretty well settled. But there's not going to be a lot of players, lot of folks sitting out. You can start with the West, where because the Suns lost to the Clippers last night, the Pelicans are now in sixth. They
right.
end up at the Kings, at the Warriors, and the Lakers. If they win out, obviously, right. they will finish sixth.
The most important pivot point in the standings now with the way things have been redone is the 6-7 pivot point, because that is
right.
you guaranteed a full series or you have to play your way into a full series. And so, you know, I mean, at the very edge of that right now is Phoenix and New Orleans, but like the Lakers and Sacramento, I mean,
I think
they're
it's
not
done
totally
for the Lakers. The Lakers are 2.5 back now.
Yeah,
three
probably
games
so.
Left. I think that's probably done. And the Sacramento, 2 games back. Sacramento is not.
And Dallas has got a little bit of cushion up for the 5. So it probably will come down to Phoenix, New Orleans. But that's a big difference, 6 versus 7 there.
Yeah.
And in the East, it's even more crowded for that spot. And that's Philly charging hard trying to get to 6. And they're not quite there yet. They're a game out.
So Philly is a game out of 6 to try to overtake Indiana.
And then Miami's right there, too.
And then, Miami's another half game back. So it's fascinating. Well, tonight you've got Minnesota and Denver. What are the stakes for being first in the West?
It's a good question. I mean, I think you... There's two things there. One is who's your first round opponent, and you just don't know yet. You can't.
Right.
And so the thing is, if you get to a conference finals, it would be home court advantage in the conference finals if both teams get
right.
there. And how important is that to those teams? I would think at least moderately important. I'd have to go back and look at what their home road records have been this season. Denver typically has a very strong home court advantage.
The other thing is that in the next round, presumably.
Right.
Depending on what the hell happens in the first round, because, someone could be knocked
right.
off by the Lakers in the first round. In the next round,
Are you trying to avoid OKC in the second round?
Not really.
Or do you not care about
whether, because it's going to be, the 4-5 is going to be Denver.
The Clippers or Dallas.
I don't know that you even care.
Yeah. Certainly the fundamentals of over the course of 82 games suggest Oklahoma City is much better than those teams. But those teams got Luka and Kawhi, you know?
Milwaukee.
They're struggling.
What?
They're struggling. Still second, though.
They're struggling, and now they're without Giannis, at least for a little while.
Yeah, does it seem like the Giannis thing is going to be something that keeps them out of the playoffs? But I guess we don't know for certain yet.
No, it doesn't feel like it would be what keeps them out of the playoffs. And would you...
In the East, Boston's got to cruise to the finals at least.
Well, I mean, that's why you have Boston taking no free throws last night.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't care.
Right.
So why do they need to be playing particularly physically? They don't particularly care. Do you think Boston, is there a credible, like who would worry you if you're Boston?
Philly is really interesting if they, because Embiid has been great, and Melton got back last night, and if the team they take into the playoffs is fully healthy, that team would probably have been second in the East if they'd stayed healthy all season.
Right.
And so they could enter the playoffs as like the 7 or 8 seed. I mean, they could, in theory, lose in the play-in and not make the playoffs. But assuming they get into a playoff series, the team they could take into the playoffs could be, in real terms, the second-best team in the East, even though they'll be the 6, 7, 8 seed.
And in the West, you're still taking Denver?
Everybody's taking Denver, and I'm not here to tell you otherwise. I mean, I think if you look at the numbers, you might point to OKC, like not just the record, but the internal sort of numbers, OKC. But I just don't. I'm going to join the chorus on this and say I believe in Denver more in the playoffs than OKC.
How many people were there last night?
I don't know what the announced attendance was, but I actually did note in the first half the Grizzlies had like a lead at some point. I think they may have taken a
14-point lead. They had a 14-point lead at some point.
Yeah, but at halftime maybe they were up by 1 or 2. It was close. But I remember at one point I looked up in the second quarter. I think they were up 5 at that point. I actually looked around and thought, there's a lot of people here considering the circumstances.
Right.
There are kind of a lot of people here, and they're kind of into this game. I was kind of impressed by that, actually.
People do. Honestly, even Saturday, like, I wasn't paying much attention to the game. But the Grizzlies were like, they were losing by close to double digits, and they would make a run to get it down to 8, and people would be engaged.
For all the consternation about the NBA regular season in a broad sense, and there's, I think, good reasons for a lot of that, there's an element to which, and I think it's better than baseball, because I do think there's more general interest in the NBA regular season relative to baseball, which is not saying much. But there is this growing sense to me that there's a baseball component to it where people care about their teams if their teams are good, you know? And so whatever, like, the national hand-wringing is over the broader general interest in the regular season, like, if the Grizzlies are good next year, people in Memphis are going to be way into the Grizzlies, you know?
I don't know.
Just like in St. Louis, away into the Cardinals or whatever.
We were having this conversation with someone else recently saying the NBA regular season meaning us blah, 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 blah. And we literally were...
Making the similar point.
Yeah. And you were involved in this conversation. And you said, that may be, but on a given Thursday night, whether you're watching on TV or whether you're at the game, it's fun and you want your team to win
100%.
And the streamers fall and you want GG or Ja or whatever.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, it's great to have a team in your... Not everyone cares, as I point out, but lots of people do. And when you have a team in your market, like, it's fun to follow the team, you know? You're not worried about the existential crisis of the larger operation. Right. You're worried about, you know, GG hit the big shot against the Bucks or whatever.
It's one of the... There are advantages to having an NFL team in terms of it is the king and in terms of the prestige that it gives you and all of that. That's true. But baseball has this advantage that it's good company throughout the summer.
100%. And it's not just the games. It's the conversation around the games. Yeah. It's the conversation around transactions. It's talking about the draft. It is a daily thing.
And basketball is the same way.
It's a daily thing to think about, to talk about, to, like, you know, to buy. It's better than a jigsaw puzzle to me, to think about the NBA team.
Have you, by the way, taken up, at one point you were vowing or not vowing, you were intending to reengage with your former love of baseball.
I actually bought Baseball Prospectus this year, and I started to read it. And I got through three teams. Like, I read, like, the Braves and the Diamondbacks and the Orioles. You go alphabetical. I actually read the chapters. I really like Baseball Prospectus. And that's, like, the hyper nerd, like, book kind of thing. Right. And I like that. But I don't. I'm just busy right now, and so we'll see. Like I'm gonna.
Well,
I'm,
you're going to a team with a city with about, a baseball.
I'm about to be living most of the time in an MLB city, and maybe that I do think that will matter to me in terms of reengaging with baseball. It may matter to me in terms of getting interested in other stuff. Like my wife was actually at the Loons game, the MLS
game,
Minnesota United game last week with the president of the college she's at is a big fan, a season ticket holder, and they went, and she had a great time. And their thing is like you wear scarves and you wave your scarves in the air like Roadhouse when something happens. And so, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll get into soccer. Maybe I'll get into the WNBA. We get a WNBA team. Maybe I'll go see Caitlin Clark when she comes to town.
You've been to the ballpark in the Twin Cities?
I haven't to the new one. I mean, I went to games at the Metrodome, to the Hump.
Right.
Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome when I was in college. And they have the new Target Field, and like I'm just the only person in my family who cares that much, and we're always only there for a few days. There's too much else to do. So I think I'll get to games this summer, or at least one or two, to see it. The thing I'm really looking forward to, as we're talking about my future sports.
Yeah.
But think, and I'm not as
it's
much
not
into
the Vikings. It's not college hockey.
It's the Packers.
What?
My best friend is a Packers season ticket holder, born in Wisconsin. His dad had his dad's tickets, and then he finally had his own after being on the wait list for 25 years.
Uh-huh.
But he's a Packers season ticket holder. He lives in the Twin Cities. And, like, so he goes – he doesn't go to every game. He sells some to basically pay for his tickets. But he goes to games at Lambeau, and I'm going to go at some point –
How far is it?
I don't know, 6 hours, something like that.
That's it.
But at some point this football season,
I'm going to go to
a game at Lambeau with him. I'm looking forward to that. I've never been able to do
fantastic.
That before.
Oh, last thing. You said you're working on your moments, your list of the great –
It's mostly finished. I'm going to wait until tomorrow morning.
How many moments do you do?
So in the past few years, I've done 50 and broken it into two parts. I'm not doing that this year. I had more than 50 candidates on my running list, but they didn't earn a 50. They're not getting 50 this season.
So what are you doing? You got to cut it off the same number of starting lineups they've had, or the same number of teams, they've had, 33?
That's close. At the moment, I have it at 27, which is the number of wins they've had this season.
and they will conclude at 27.
I think they'll conclude at 27. So I'm going to finish it off tomorrow, and it'll publish before the weekend. I'm not waiting for the end of the season. So if they win tonight, I might give them an extra moment, make it 28. But right now, I got 27. It'll probably
spoiler alert, it's got to be Jaws winner is number one.
That will be prominent in the mix. Yes, prominent in the mix. I feel like there's a clear top four to me. And then after that, you're just picking stuff you like.
All right, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.